A new app is offering hope to sufferers of PTSD. It's completely free. Creators say that it could help broaden access to psychiatric care and remove some barriers to treatment. Researchers from Stellenbosch University and the University of Amsterdam evaluated the feasibility and effectiveness of PTSD coaching and said that it reduced PTSD, depression, anxiety and stress symptoms in a group of adults with PTSD who live in an area with limited healthcare resources. The team consisted of lead researcher Dr. Irene Brierker, and she joins us this morning, I'm delighted to say. Thanks very much indeed for making time for us, Dr. Brierker. It's, first of all, if we can, as a jump-off point, PTSD. Can you give us an explanation of the type of trauma that might fall within this definition?
Hi, thank you, and thank you for inviting me. Yeah, so that's always a difficult question because people are challenging what falls into trauma according to our DSM. So just to say that DSM-5 is sort of our diagnostic Bible that we use in psychiatry and psychology. And if you strictly follow those guidelines, a trauma means that an individual either directly experienced, so it happened to them, they witnessed or they learned about actual threat and death, serious injury or sexual assault. And some examples in our setting would be domestic violence, sexual assault, serious motor vehicle accidents, life-threatening illnesses, and I think some people listening might even think of the COVID-19 pandemic and its devastating aftermath also then later led to us recognizing it as a traumatic stressor.
Okay, got that. Now, we find ourselves in this day and age, thank goodness, I think, talking an awful lot more about trauma. The language around trauma has become a lot more understood by people. We understand how one thing that might be traumatic to one person might not necessarily be to another. The other thing that we talk about an awful lot, and you might see things about this online, is complex PTSD. Can you just explain how that differs to the definition that you've just given?
Yeah, sure. And that is a topic completely on its own.
Yeah.
Because it's also a speciality on its own. And I think it's also important to note, because part of the big discussion is that currently this diagnosis also doesn't fall into our DSM diagnostic Bible, but it does fall into the WHO, the International Classification of Diseases guidelines. So that's just another thing that we use to diagnose individuals and help them. But very briefly, complex PTSD is associated with more chronic exposure to trauma, so prolonged exposure. So here you would think of chronic childhood abuse and chronic childhood sexual assault specifically. So then these individuals would then later on present with increase emotional regulation difficulties.
Okay.
They also struggle more in the relationship. In general, it's just a more distinct, pervasive, difficult diagnosis to work with.
Okay, understood. How might PTSD present itself then?
Yeah, so when someone experiences a trauma, they may continue to develop some of the PTSD symptoms. And we divide this into four clusters or four groups. So the most characteristic symptom of PTSD is what we would call re-experiencing the trauma. So that would happen through nightmares, flashbacks, or you just have memories of the event popping into your head all the time. Then individuals also clearly present with what we call avoidance, and I'm sure some people would resonate with this. So it's where you avoid even talking about it, you avoid the place that it happened, or even the individuals you were with when it happened. And then some of the other symptoms are related to mood and cognition. So you become angry without no specific trigger or reason. You start struggling significantly with concentration, and then also what we call hyperarousal. So you get startled very easily when there's a loud noise or someone just approaches you from the back and you didn't expect them, and it's very difficult for you to recover after that. And that's just some of the symptoms that people can present with.
Is it something, Irene, that might show up only years after the traumatic event? I mean, is it possible that the event can happen or the series of events can happen and then one perhaps dissociates or buries or avoids and then years later you start seeing the types of behaviour that you've described?
Yes, definitely. So, and you've mentioned it. So some individuals, when they experience a trauma for some reason, and psychiatry is beautiful in that sense that we continue to develop and try to understand the brain. So some individuals, they can dissociate. So they block out the event, they block out what happened until years later. There might be a trigger or something that happens. And then I had this one client that said it was almost 5 years later when something triggered a trauma for her, and it was like a movie that just started playing for her, and that was like 5 or 6 years later after the event.
Sure. What happens if PTSD is left untreated?
So ideally you would actually like to prevent the development of PTSD, and a colleague of mine is actually using the same app in that regard in her research, trying to see if people access the support earlier, if it can maybe prevent the development of PTSD. But if you then have the full-blown diagnoses, and similar to any other even physical condition, the longer you leave it, the more severe it can get, and you can maybe lose your job because you struggle so much that you don't want to leave the house and you don't go to work often, or you make big mistakes. And then other individuals, you can also start developing more mental health challenges. So depression and anxiety is very prevalent among people that struggle with PTSD. And then also substance use difficulties, that also pops up because people try to numb the symptoms that they're struggling with.
Yeah.
And so just in essence, the longer you leave it, the more it can increase in intensity, and you need more support and maybe even specialised treatment.
I just want to go back to something you said there about the work that your colleague's doing. So it is possible to prevent PTSD, is it?
It is. So I think one also that I'm very cautious about, always with over-pathologized, so not everyone that experiences a trauma will go on to develop PTSD.
Yeah.
But similar with many other things, the sooner you access support, the more you can prevent the development of more severe difficulties. So if you are aware and it's normalized for you, and you know what to look out for, you have the right, for example, stress management tools, that you do not become overwhelmed, it would be possible to prevent the development of PTSD.
I remember seeing something online the other day, and I know that we've become a meme society, and everything gets, really complex mental health disorders get summed up in two or three lines on a meme. But it really resonated with me, and it was saying, that for a child, specifically childhood trauma, it's not necessarily about the traumatic event, it's the child being alone in the trauma. And that really resonated with me in terms of, if there's a safe space in which to unpack the trauma, the likelihood, and you'll either say yay or nay, the likelihood that this will then turn into PTSD is minimised if there's a safe space in which to unpack it. And I'm thinking about, particularly maybe from a very specifically South African example, people who are victims of home invasions, of carjacking. The advice that's always given is get some support immediately. Don't wait years for then to have the flashbacks and the PTSD. Would I be on the right lines in that sense?
Yes, absolutely. Mm. So that's also what when we do an assessment of a patient, you would look into what we call protective factors and mitigating factors. And that's exactly what you are speaking to. So if you can provide more protective factors, it can help to minimize the impact.
Got
definitely. It is obvious. This is very simplified, but it is definitely possible. You're on the right track.
Okay, good. We're talking this morning to Dr. Irene Briekov, who's from the lead researcher at Stellenbosch University, one of a team who has developed this new app offering hope to sufferers of PTSD. What is the app and how does it work?
So again, it's just important for me to note that we didn't actually develop the app, and this also speaks to how we have all these apps available in the App Store, but one, we don't know about them, and two, we don't use them. So PTSD Coach was actually developed by the Department of Veteran Affairs and Defense of the United States, and it was first launched in 2011, and actually a new update was launched just last week. So like you mentioned right at the beginning, it's freely available. What I love about the app is when you download it and it's on your phone, you don't need data to use it afterwards, because I think that could be a barrier in our setting with load shedding and everything. And we just decided, so no one has actually officially evaluated this app in a low-income setting. So all the researchers on high-income countries, they've even adapted the app in Sweden and in the Netherlands. So, and we thought that this could be of value for our people. And we then just added a counselor to work with these participants to work through the app if they have any technical difficulties and alert me if there's risk.
Okay.
So that's how it came about.
I'm with you. I'm with you. So the idea is that it's going to be, it's intended to be used as you say, in a more low income setting, and in a setting in which we know our mental health support and healthcare facilities are more than overstretched already.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So that is the idea to sort of. It's definitely not for self-diagnosis. That's also a very important message. Yes, it can be used for self-management, but it doesn't replace professional care. So even in the US, yes, their veterans can use it, and it's encouraged that they use it during deployment and after deployment, but it's also incorporated in their trauma clinic, in their usual care, so that individuals use it alongside professional help, or when they are still waiting for the professional. I mean, we know we have long waiting lists, more so in the public sector than in the private sector. But it's help that is available also for you, sort of in your pocket, that you can take out in the moment when you need some support.
And it's called PTSD Coach, isn't it? That's the name of the app.
Correct.
And you can go onto your smartphone, folks, and check it out, download it. So it was downloaded onto participants' smartphones, and they were given mobile data, and then they attended 4 weekly counsellor supported sessions, just over half an hour each. And the focus was then on what? What then happened once they were paired with a counsellor and had the app on the phone?
So this is also based on what we would call in research the shared accountability. And I think if I'm correct, you had a fitness expert just before me on the show. So if you think about it, I'm someone, if I don't have an appointment with someone at the gym, I'm not going to go.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with when you have to access an app for help or even something you have to do for yourself. Many of us do not do it if we are left to our own devices. So the idea was to have a dedicated time where participants would come and they have to, they're sort of not forced, but it's their time to work through the app, ask questions. And yes, here and there, it's very American-based, so that's where counselors can be valuable then to sort of help brainstorm with the participants, but what does this mean for you in your setting, with your world, with your barriers in your home? So that is where the counselor was helpful, to help them with technical difficulties if they were, help them to work through tools that they've selected based on their difficulties on that day or at that time, and help them to make it more personal for themselves.
I'm just having a look online at the. I'm trying to download it on my phone. I probably should have done that prior to the interview.
Yeah.
Where do you see this app being used here in South Africa going forward, and what benefit will it have here specifically?
So going forward, firstly, our research is still very exploratory. So yes, we could show that it's feasible and acceptable, which we had our doubts about because it's an American app and we're a very different country.
Sure.
But we sort of have support for that. And then we have preliminary effectiveness that it can actually help to reduce PTSD symptoms. So we would like to evaluate that further in bigger samples to say, yes, this app is something that you definitely should use. But in general, I think the app can be very valuable for people maybe to learn about PTSD, to see that, oh, there are symptoms that other people are experiencing. This is normal when I've experienced a trauma. It also has resources or information on the app that tells you about available treatments in general. And then it has what I've called like stress management tools as well. And also you can screen if you have PTSD symptoms. And then you can also add your own resources like contact persons in crises. So how I see this at this moment is it can help to empower people. It can also help maybe, hopefully, to break some of the stigma with mental health. We've come a long way, but we still have a long way to go with regards to that. People are likely in the public sector, and that is where we evaluated it, they are likely to wait very long before they're going to see a psychologist or psychiatrist. And they can sort of just offer support for themselves in between or while they are waiting. And then what we actually saw in the study, and which was a very real world thing, is sometimes the participants couldn't attend the sessions because of protests and things happening in their setting that prohibited them from attending the session, but then they could still access the app during that time for themselves. So it's something that is there for you to use, and no one can sort of take it away from you, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does make sense. It does make sense. I'm just having a look through the app now, and there's something. This is such a great idea called Schedule Worry Time, where and I relate to that. So I'm a chronic worrier, like chronic. I can wake up in the night and be worrying about something that I haven't thought about for 2 weeks. And it gives you like a little box here where you can say, this is my worry, and then you can schedule a worry time, and that's your time to worry about it. And I know it seems really simple, doesn't it? It's like, oh yeah, but I actually think that would probably work really well. You give yourself permission to worry, and then you kind of close the app and go, right, I'm done with that, and I put it aside. I think that might work really well. Folks, it's called PTSD Coach, and you can download it from the App Store on your smartphone. Oh, somebody just messaging in quickly, Irene. I don't know if you can answer this question for us. Morning, SJ. I've recently heard people referring to post-traumatic stress syndrome, or PTSS. Please, could your guest elaborate on what the difference between that and PTSD would be? That's a great question.
So I haven't heard specifically of PTSS in the terms of syndrome at the end. So when we refer to PTSS as PTSD symptoms instead of the PTSD diagnosis. Okay. So that's the difference. And that's also, it's very important to highlight that, again, it goes back to the preventing the full development of PTSD. Most people, even directly after, can present with what we call PTSS, so PTSD symptoms. But for it to be a full PTSD, the disorder part, a diagnosis, it has to be present for a month or longer, and it has to cause significant functional impairment. So it's sort of, if you will, like a prelude or a precursor to the symptoms that can then develop into PTSD, the full-blown diagnosis. That, does that answer the question?
Yes, it does. Perfectly. Thank you very much indeed. And thanks so much for your time, Irene. It's been a fascinating conversation. And thanks very much to you and to your colleagues as well at Stellenbosch University and the University of Amsterdam. Dr. Irene Breker, who is one of the researchers at Stellenbosch University, who has been working with this app, offering hope to sufferers of PTSD. It's called PTSD Coach.